If you're listening to this, you already know our podcast. You may have even watched us on YouTube, but some of the most unforgettable moments in Glass Cannon history didn't happen in a recording studio. They happened live. In 2026, we're taking that energy on the road with an all-new touring show, Call of Cthulhu Live. Each city will experience its own unique, standalone story of cosmic horror, and we're coming to Madison on October 15th. You can get your tickets today at glasscannonnetwork.com/tour. And if you'd like to upgrade your experience with early entry for exclusive pre-show access and a meet and greet with the cast before the show, grab one of the limited BIGCP packages at checkout. Just head to glasscannonnetwork.com/tour and we'll see you in Madison.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of the Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Shouldn't be alive on the Glass Cannon Network, your destination for everything tabletop role-playing entertainment-wise. This is our good buddies here getting together playing games, all different kinds of RPGs. You go to glasscannonnetwork.com, you can see dozens and dozens of games being played, over hundreds of episodes, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Skid, over 10 and a half years of gameplay recordings. It's an incredible backlog that we're extremely proud of, and we would love for you guys to check it out. My name is Joe O'Brien. I am the referee today as we launch back into our Twilight 2000 game. I'm here with Ross Bryant, Mary Lou, Jared Logan, and Skid Marr. What's up? I've got such incredibly talented players on this show, and pre-show, one of the creators of the Tabletop Tunes podcast, Mary Lou, was improvising with professional and world-renowned improver Ross Bryant a song about bleeding out in the back of a truck. Yeah. And it was bringing smiles to all of our faces as we remembered the hecticness and stress of the characters in our last episode, who some of which are bleeding out in the back of a truck.
How many times are our characters going to get shot and not die?
Yeah,
that's really like, because like you know, most people get shot one time and don't die,
right?
Or they get shot once and die.
Yeah.
But I feel like over the course of the campaign, our characters are going to get shot like 8 times. We're going to be like 50 Cent by the time
I know
this is over.
So if I was
okay for me to say 50. I apologize to those who are concerned.
No, I think it is actually correct to say 50. It is worse to say 50.
Okay.
Right? Like, 50 that's not
cent.
His
We're
name.
We're going to be
it's
like really the hip hop rap artist it. 50 Cent.
Yeah, that sounds much worse, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's 50 worse.
50 Cent is worse.
Yeah. 50
cents.
50 cents. Yeah, might as well say 50
way,
cents.
We're going to get rich or die trying.
That's right.
The thing is, Jared, is that I don't think we are going to get shot 8 times. I think we're going to get shot like twice because we're going to die. after like the second one. Like,
yeah, it's possible. But I imagine a world where at some point late in the campaign, JF Dade, soft and friendly JF Dade, can just like open his shirt and he looks like fucking Batman, you know? Like,
yeah.
Just like, it's been a long war against the Joker.
Yeah.
Where is she?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the moment where I can finally rip off my fatigues, revealing the most chiseled and cut torso, just covered in spidery tattoos.
Yes.
Just
well, in order to you pull a Ben Affleck and you have a full back Phoenix tattoo. You guys know about this, right?
Does he have a full back Phoenix tattoo?
Oh, pause everything. Joe, pull up image search, Google Ben Affleck back tattoo. It is crazy.
Yeah.
Someone you don't think has a tattoo not only has like a little tattoo, but like a giant, like Yakuza level coverage.
It's just like a phoenix rising from the ashes, which getting a back tattoo of a phoenix rising from the ashes means you're still at rock bottom. You know,
absolutely.
Like you're not really rising at that point.
100%. It is so midlife crisis. For sure.
Yeah.
It is so ridiculous that like as an artist should you not understand like metaphor and like foreshadowing and like you know imagery, but he got a back tattoo of a phoenix rising from the ashes. Did you see it, Joe?
Yes, I'm looking at it now. It looks like the phoenix is rising from his butt.
Yeah, from his butt.
It's like the rising right from the butt all the way to the top of his shoulders.
And it takes up the space of his entire back, like from neck to shoulders all the way down to butt. It is so beautiful.
Mary Lou, is this your way of you saying you want to get a tattoo of your entire back?
I always
want
to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
My theory is that,
but a lot of it, I am dreaming.
My theory is that he made that gangster film Live by Night, and before it came out, he was like, this is my comeback. Put the Phoenix tattoo on my back.
That explains
beautiful.
It. Yeah. Well, today
that,
we are going to
the
ago.
Front is a full and it's a full chest Dunkin' Donuts piece.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Today we're going to get back into our Twilight 2K game, which we call We Shouldn't Be Alive, and see if some of these shot characters can survive. We're going to see what other perils lie in wait for them. So stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to do brief recap and right back into it, because we are still in the thick of a fight right now. There's tension in the air, several armed parties in several directions, all trying to figure out what to do next. Stay with us. We're going to come back and find out how this all resolves.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Ox Venture and No Rolls Barred. Search realms of peril and glory to find out more.
The world of Sonic the Hedgehog has been thrust into a not-so-dark, not-so-stormy hard-boiled detective story that probably nobody saw coming. Follow Sonic and the Intrepid Chaotix Detective Agency as they take on their biggest case yet. This high-flying, action-packed adventure will take them across the world, fighting for every clue they can find. It's one heck of a tale, which is good, because this story might be the only thing that can save their lives.
Wait. Well, if that's all, I can just dispose of you.
Wait, what?
All will be revealed in Sonic the Hedgehog presents The Chaotix Case Files. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Chaotix are on the case.
Jared, I've been pondering your question of how many times can we get shot and still
Don't
survive
take that as
and still
a challenge.
Continue. There's several ways I'm thinking about this question. Forgive me, I'm not going to dive right back into the game right now. I think that we need to have a meeting as a table. I think we have to
team
have a
meeting.
Discussion about
team
this.
Meeting.
And yeah, team meeting, because there are some, so, you know, I don't want to even say obviously, but I assume none of you has been shot. I've never been shot. I'm kind of surprised to hear that it is not that strange or unusual. I just recently, a couple weeks ago, I had an MRI on my shoulder. And as part of the questioning, they ask if there's any foreign bodies in your body. Mm. And I checked yes, because many, many years ago, I had a ACL reconstruction. And so there's a little screw in my lower leg bone, right? So I'm like, yeah, I don't think it matters, but that's in there. The nurse, as I come back in, is barely looking over those forms and just kind of asking me these questions again. And she's like, there's nothing, there's no other foreign material in your body. There's a pacemaker, blah, blah, whatever. I'm like, no. I mean, after the pacemaker, the second thing she said was shrapnel. And then the third thing was, have you ever been shot? And I was just like, this is the third question on the list? Like, I was really surprised that, like, it would be that, not like, have you ever been shot? I mean, if you've ever been shot and the bullet was taken out, like, yeah, we don't care. That happens all the time.
Right.
The question is, were you shot and is the bullet still in there and you just live with it now? The fact that that is like a routine medical question is interesting and frightening.
Let's just admit that the intake forms for hospitals are always weirdly specific. They're always like, have you been half submerged in an Amazonian river? Have you ever eaten watermelon hard candy from Estonia? They're just like, and you're like, wow, no and no.
Have any of your relatives ever eaten watermelon candy from Estonia?
Do you have a family
Estonia?
History of Estonia candy eating? So anyway, it does bring up the thought of how we want to resolve getting shot. I don't think it's abundantly clear in the book, the trauma that can be caused by a gunshot wound with the rules that we play with. I might be reading things wrong, but from what I can tell, I'm bringing this up here, from what I can tell, the chapter or section on damage, injury, and recovery, et cetera, says, and the reason I want to do this now before going back into the episode is that there still may be further injuries coming imminently, and I want to make sure that we're all on the same page before we start moving forward. But right now, we have a situation where gunshot wounds that penetrated armor did not critically injure anybody. And so there isn't a critical injury table to roll on, which can have lethal results. Right now, it's just a matter of ticking off your hit capacity. Once you're back on your feet, and this is only when you're incapacitated, though you can recover after being incapacitated by a medical aid roll. But if you're not incapacitated, which technically you guys are not, you have not reached your max hit capacity. Dade, I think you're one off. Lime, I think you might be two off.
I think I'm two off.
Okay.
I've checked three of my five hit capacity boxes.
So one more bullet from an AK gets through your armor, you know, well, not totally through, but through enough to do 2 points of damage, and you would be incapacitated, and you would need somebody to do medical aid on you, or you would, not gain consciousness for at least a shift. So the further recovery, it says, once you're back on your feet, you recover one hit point each full shift spent resting or sleeping. Now, a bullet is not just going to slowly work its way out of your body. The only thing that I see here is infected wounds. If you suffer 1 point of damage from an external attack, a bullet, you are not treated with a medical aid roll, you must make an infection roll on the infection table, which I have. Now, medical aid is possible right now, you know, with Dade, but still, if those roles succeed, which is likely, just likely based on pushing roles and stuff like that, I don't see any further addressing of like how long it takes you to really recover from a bullet wound. Do you have to take the bullet out? Do we play this all out? And so I'm bringing the question as an open question to the table, how you guys want to play gunshot wounds that are not critical injuries, where we don't roll on the critical injury table, where you are not incapacitated, or even if you're incapacitated and then recover enough to be conscious again. How immersive do you want this to be? How simulation-esque versus a video game, right? Like, how do we... Jared, it looks like you have a thought.
I feel like this is a cinematic treatment of war, not a simulationist or hyper-realistic treatment of war. Therefore, gunshot wounds that do not completely take all of your hit capacity away or score criticals can be considered to be flesh wounds, which, you know, people take and survive, you know, all the time.
Right.
So, you know, for example, Dade's hit that he took here doesn't mean a bullet is lodged in his clavicle. It just means that it's grazed him. It's made him bleed. It's not good. He needs some treatment, but it doesn't mean that he's, you know, got a bullet in his chest.
That he needs surgery to remove a bullet. Right. Yeah. Like, however, I didn't even think about that. Like, it's very possible that we represent non-critical injury bullet wounds as bullets that passed through flesh, right? In and out of an arm or just grazed, as you said, Jared. Skid, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think we even need to necessarily think of them as penetrative wounds. Like, if we're getting hit in an armored part of our body, it could still, it'll fuck you up. It'll mess you up. You will get injured, but it won't necessarily break the skin. The bullet won't be in your body, but it
could break a rib, right? Or something like that. Yeah.
Break a rib, you get like a massive contusion.
Right.
And it can knock you out. You know,
Or you could even bleed. You bleed from the vest, you know, breaking and the or not breaking, but the vest like lacerating your skin. Yeah.
Like it could split.
It's not the actual bullet. Yeah. So I think
I like this as a way to rule it. Yeah. Yeah. That these non-critical hits, so to speak, we can kind of cinematically describe the ways in which they're terrible, but not as brutally lethal as maybe what we have described, which was when Dade gets hit, like this spurt of blood is shooting up his neck. I think everything we described is true. I think maybe it hit his
upper part of his shoulder and tore through.
Clipped up, tore through some of his like levator muscle here. And like he does have like blood all over his chin and shoulder. But it's something
that
he
really
treats
scary, but not ultimately be life threatening or anything.
Right.
But it blasted him good.
Yeah. But every time you get shot, you should take 4 permanent stress and be psychologically out of the game forever.
Okay.
Or get a back tattoo and then it's fine.
That's
actually
it.
Reduces
all stress. If you get a full Phoenix back tattoo, you can remove
every
all stress.
Every shift you spend getting a tattoo removes...
Remove stress.
2 points of stress.
All right, let me ask you one more thing, because this refers directly to medical aid. I had installed a mechanic of medical parts, similar to vehicle parts, electronic parts, and general parts, just because I wanted to. I feel like Dade's character is such an important part of our story is Dade's medic background and medical character. And I wanted to also have him something striving for in terms of spare parts, the way that Zofia has something, you know, in that realm. And in the book, though, there is a differentiation between things like a personal med kit or antibiotics or other medical supplies that give you certain bonuses to certain kind of medical checks. So I guess what I want to say is, since I installed this medical parts mechanic, I kind of like the idea, similar to what we did with vehicle parts, to make those parts, they could be any one of those things that you need them to be at the time. So, you know, like when we repaired that civilian or that Soviet truck that was from those deserters, Sophia had a spare vehicle part. We said it was a hose. I've got a hose right here, right? You're just saying what the thing is at the time. I don't mind you saying, Dade, if you've got two medical parts on your sheet, saying let's say somebody failed an infection roll, you can say, oh, I've got antibiotics, which can, right. you know, but then you lose a medical part.
One of the parts.
Does that sound good to you right now? Does that sound fair? I think it is. I think that we'll try that out and see if we run into any complications with that.
And we can do the same with guns. I've got a gun. So it can be an RPG or a
pistol when you need to conceal it.
Or maybe a laser gun.
Yeah. Right. A rail gun.
A disruptor.
Disruptor.
A Romulan disruptor.
Amazing.
It could be my favorite gun from Halo, the like needle thing.
Needler.
The needler
from awesome. Halo. Oh, that was awesome.
Love that guy. Love that
guy. That was
guy.
Really fun. Okay.
Listen to you video gamers. Having a great time.
Last thing on the list. I believe that by the book, only critical injuries create actual mechanical effects to your character. Hit capacity can make you incapacitated, but then once you rest, if you have 5 hit capacity and 4 are checked off after your first day of rest and you have 1 box free, you can operate as if you're not injured at all. Is that cool with everybody, or do we feel like we want to at least role play a little bit, some sort of not debilitation, but something that is slowing you down if you are hurt the day after you got shot? I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? Or do you want to stick with the mechanics on that?
I think the mechanics should stay the same. I do think that, like, we as actors can
lean
fold that into our character as Mary, I don't think you're going to forget that you got shot. Yeah. Or that you're not going to forget that you got this injury. But dealing with any, like, mechanical issue, I think is.
Yeah, I agree. I'll put it in your guys' hands to determine
the mechanics.
How hurt your character is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely in the mechanics, but I just want to reinforce that when I look at this screen here, I don't see Jared. I see Hana.
Thank you for clarifying.
I see Poland, so
yeah.
I have to play the truth that I'm experiencing.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I have to play the truth.
It's just my imagination's so powerful that I can't do anything else, really.
And Ross, right now, you gotta play that you're bleeding out in the back of the truck.
In the back of the truck. Hound dog and the wife at home. Bleeding out in the back of a truck.
Yeah, we do have a dog.
You do have a dog, and let's have that segue into the recap.
Oh,
so last episode, you guys moved several hexes as you left Bugorai and worked your way through these like country roads in the woods. You actually hit a deer. Don't forget, you hit a deer, damaged the front of your vehicle. Nothing that couldn't be recovered from, but you damaged the front of the vehicle, and you did end up cleaning out some meat from that deer. And you've got some wild rations right now, which are not edible until you cook them. And pardon me, I mean, they're edible, but you...
Or they're edible, but we could just die of infection.
Yeah, you take risks of getting ill. you then moved on from that. And as you were heading south, your mission here is to get to Legeis, in order to try to at least scope out a situation that you heard about where a Solinsky crime family, who Zofia is loosely familiar or is familiar with, she's done some work for an organized crime racket, apparently like imprisoning families and had kids making bullets that they were selling to Soviets or something. These are rumors that you're hearing out in the countryside. And so you wanted to go and check this out and see if some Poles needed to be liberated from some criminals there. As you were heading south through the woods, and just before you hit a bridge over the San River, you got jumped in an ambush. A tree fell down in front of the truck. Hana did not see it in time and crashed the front of the truck into the tree. Then fire broke out, a gunfire broke out from both sides of the road. And suddenly, in seconds, Dade was shot, Lime was shot, and there was a guy in the woods screaming, cease fire, then screaming, we want your truck, just give us your truck. And Hana, in a rage, ran from the car toward the voice of this guy who was holding an RPG and decided to physically take it up to close combat and beat him to the ground.
Yeah.
And he, and during
now
that.
Now I've got an RPG.
During that melee,
a heavy weapon off, skill.
He fired off the RPG. The round exploded into the trees. Fire is raining down from above. He lays on the ground. I believe the last moments, the last seconds that we saw were him wide-eyed looking at this woman who has been critically injured in the torso after a shot from one of you. I don't know which one put that one into her. It might have been Zofia. And
I shot most people.
Yeah, you shot most of the people. There's multiple people shot.
And all of the children.
Yes, exactly. Right. All of the children. There's a woman down on the ground bleeding out. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I'm going to say that she had blood coming out of her mouth. She was struggling to breathe.
You did say that.
And this guy looks wide-eyed at Hana, looks at her, looks at the pistol that's on his belt. And that's where we froze and ended the ep last time. So let's pick it up right there. In the moment, I struggled a lot with this, with like, what do I do next? You know, it's great to have a break in between to like think a lot about it. But sometimes thinking isn't the best thing. You can think yourself into circles. Yeah. And so I left it down to a pre-show dice roll for myself. I was like, you know what? I'll let the dice decide. And I rolled and the dice decided. And so beyond this instant, this moment, I really don't know what's going to happen. And I think that we'll play it out in real time and see what happens. In the moment, this guy laying on the ground, looking up wide-eyed at Hana, looks down at his gun, Hana, and looks over at this. He's on the ground as well, prone, looking over at this woman that's lying on the ground a little distance away from him. And he just looks up and puts his hands both up in the air, surrendering and saying, I'm sorry. I did not. I thought you were Soviets. We thought you were Soviets.
Shut up.
And
don't talk.
Please.
Shut
please,
up.
She's hurt. She's hurt. My wife, she's hurt.
I am going to kick away his handgun.
It's in a holster.
It's in his holster.
Belt.
I'm going to say, I'm going to point my gun right at him and reach down and pull it out of the holster, right? And shove it into my belt and say, two are down over here. One needs help.
As she yells that from the trees, we see that Lime is injured. Dade is injured. Blood all over Dade's neck and up by his chin. And you hear another voice shouting at the same time in the woods from where you did not see a person before. And you just hear a shout coming up from the same side of the road that you're on, Hana, and a little bit to the east of you. And you just hear calling through the trees, Zofia is hit! Zofia is hit! Lime,
two
you
people
look
named
down,
Zofia,
and there
that's
is
super confusing. Wow. Okay.
What is this, Game of Thrones?
Which Zofia? I'm going to say, come out with your hands over your head now.
You don't hear anything for a moment. He's looking over, and he scrambles over to the guy who's down in front of you, scrambles on all fours over to the woman that's injured some 10 feet away from him on the ground. Do you do anything in that moment as he's scrambling
over
to her?
I still have the gun trained on him, so I'm not too worried.
You have the gun trained on him.
And I disarmed him, so I'm not too worried.
Yeah, so he scrambles over to this woman, and he says, what's this wrong? What's this wrong? Where do you hit? And she's... I think we got to go kind of second by second here. So let me apologies. Let me go to our battle tracker here. Okay. We have initiative. We're still in initiative, and it's going to be the top of a new round. And it is Dade's turn. Dade, you're hearing all this happening. Talk to me. What do you do? I need to clarify. Let me bring you... real quick. We're on the map of Poland here. We see you are on the road just north of the bridge you're trying to cross to head down to Leżajsk. If we go to our map where we were before, which I will do now, you can see the tactical map. And you can see that right next to Shalona, where Shalona was called by Lime to pull off of that guy who ran off into the woods. You see next to Shalona, there is what looks like a teenage boy on the ground. And he's grabbing at his leg, and there's just blood coming out from his leg. You're in the back of the truck, blood on your neck. The boy is kind of like trying to crawl maybe a little bit. What do you do?
Okay. I will, stand. Try to do my best. I'm like, okay, I can stand. I think I was in a kneel, kind of trying to put myself between this kid and Lime, and Shalona went mad. I'll, it's like, easy, as I'm kind of coming up over the wall of the truck. I'm hearing the shouts from behind me. Is this kid still armed? Does he have his weapons on the ground?
Yeah, he's still armed. He's on the ground, but his weapon is like in his hand, in the like wet, like brown leafy mud and muck off the side of the road. Remember, it's spring. It had rained yesterday. There is just sort of that like muck in the side of the road. His rifle, it's a bolt action hunting rifle, is in the muck, and he's got his hand still on it. I think you could be able to see from here that it's been shot and not recocked for another round. Okay. So it's been shot and it's open right now, and he's struggling with his left hand, trying to hold the wound with his right hand. He still has the rifle.
Okay. And I'm just like, drop it, set it down. And I'm just like holding one hand up with the AK in my right hand, still jammed, still bluffing, and just trying to get him to just like cast it aside so I can get a better look at him. Like, just not.
He's got a hoodie on. His back is to you. He's with his left hand. He's holding that wound with his right hand, holding the gun, and he is not letting go of the gun. Remember, there is a language barrier here. So,
Yeah. Okay.
Drop it. And he's just.
I can't turn around and
starting to try to move.
I cannot turn around and deal with what's going on up there with Hannah until this kid is sorted. I will walk forward and try to like, I'm going to try to stand on the, like this gun, just like press it down, and just kind of try to turn him over, with my free hand so I can get a look at this wound.
Okay, you step down on the barrel of the rifle and then push him over, and he kind of gives up the rifle in an instant as your boot pushes off on his shoulder. You turn around and the hood sort of like flops up and back, and you see about a 16-year-old boy, and he's just... God. And he's got these like little, you know, this very light kind of peach fuzzy beard starting around his chin and mustache. And he's grabbing the like sort of the side and back of his thigh. The bleeding is bad, but it's not like arterial, I guess you would say.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like that bad. And it's not a critical injury. It's just a bullet wound. No, it's not a critical injury, and we can say similar to you guys, it kind of like it's a flesh wound. They kind of pass through, and he's like, he's moaning, and as you turn over the rifle and put the hands up, he starts in Polish, you know, how do you say no in Polish, Mary Lou? How do you say no in Polish?
Knee?
How do you say no, please?
I forget.
No, please. He's saying in Polish.
All right, okay.
Tak, knee.
And I might yell back to Lime, like, assuming, I know we're in initiative here. Tell me if this is too long. I'm like, Majralam, you still with me?
Yeah, so let's just, can we move on? Dave?
Yeah, and I'm going to ask him to throw me a blanket. I'm trying to get something to put pressure on this kid's leg.
Okay, sounds good. Throw me a blanket. And we go to Hannah. You kind of already did your thing. I don't know if there's something else you want to do in this moment. You hear a voice off in the woods to the east shouting about somebody else being hurt. It's a woman's voice. And then it got quiet. You said step out to where I can see you, right? But then it got
quiet.
Hands
up, step out where we can see you.
You didn't hear anything after that.
Okay, so I'm not going to take like a lot of time. Just does it look like my friend who's helping his downed comrade, does it look like he knows what he's doing or is doing anything effective?
No, I mean, in the instant that he crawls over there, he's just kind of like pulling her her coat off a little bit, and you just see like a well of blood in her chest.
And the person to the east, I don't hear any more movement or talking from there.
Right.
Okay, I think I did my action, so let's move on to everybody else.
Okay. Let's go to Zofia in the car.
Yeah, so I've just shot the child to the north, I believe, was my last action. Oh, yes. No. My last action was threatening the man,
Right, who has run off into the woods, right.
That was, that was my moment of mercy. If you leave, I won't shoot the fuck out of you. I'm going to... Oh, the map is paused. Can we...
Apologies, I just realized that. Sorry. Ugh, gross.
So then, Dade, you should probably be over by the boy.
Yeah. I'll move him over.
Okay. I'm going to start with Lime, because he's right next to me. We're both on the same side of the truck. We're both out... Oh, I know I'm in the truck. I haven't gotten out of the truck yet. So I'm going to get out of the truck. My, I think my fast action is to get out of the truck. And I want to check on Lime. I'm going to put a hand on his shoulder and say, are you all right? You're hurt.
And we will go to Shalona, who comes over next to Dade, who's got his foot on this rifle and is looking at this kid, and Shalona just comes over and is looking up at Dade and looking down at the kid, and we'll go to Lime.
So Lime, he looks down, feels that impact, like a truck hitting his chest, this bullet. He looks down, he sees the flattened bullet against his tactical vest. He gets a feeling around. He's just like, I'm alright. And he's going to quick scan around to see if there are any immediate additional threats in the area. If there aren't, he is going to try to follow Dade's instructions and try to get a blanket out of the flatbed.
Okay, great. You look into the flatbed. You guys have never mentioned a blanket. It's not on your gear sheet. It's not in the truck at all.
Seems like something we might have.
Right. So since it's something
to put pressure on this thing.
Since it's something you might have, let's just do a luck roll, but I'm not going to make it 50-50.
You have one blanket part.
Okay. part.
It can be used for an afghan. It can be used for electric
pashmina.
Yeah. An ascot.
You know, it is interesting. I think that this is something that could be covered under the general part thing. It could be a general part, right? But
do I want to eat up a general part on this?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe this is the moment where I rip off my shirt, revealing this fucking incredible.
Hey, rip off the kid's shirt. Rip off this kid's hoodie.
No.
Fuck this kid.
Yeah, ruin his clothes.
Absolutely. No, I think that's...
I'm going to do a quick luck roll, okay? And I'm just going to make it... I'm going to do a D8, and on a 6, 7, or 8, you'll get it. So at a success on a D8, you'll have it. Here we go. I rolled a 2. So there is no... You look in the cab there, Lime, and you're like, you don't remember them ever having a blanket, and no, there's no blanket.
Great. Then I'm trying to rip this guy's hoodie off to wrap it around his leg.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll come back to you in a moment. Now, you know, this doesn't necessarily need to be tactical, but since people are wounded, I just need to know moment by moment what you're deciding to do first. We come back to the guy. He's desperately trying to put pressure on this wound, and you hear him in Polish panicking Hanna and speaking to this woman and saying, "You will be okay. You will be all right. We will get you home. We will get you home." And he is putting pressure on this wound, and you then hear Hanna, the trees kind of like the bushes and trees sort of like burst out from the side of you to the east, and this man comes running out with a gun on a hunting rifle, like strapped around his chest, but it's on his back.
Okay.
And he comes running out of the trees and says, "Zofia, he's down! Zofia is down!" And looks wide-eyed at the woman laying on the ground. And it just like is standing there stunned, and then looks at you, looks at the guy, and you know, it's just a real mess. There's multiple injured people here, and everybody's kind of like panicking and not sure what to do. We come back to Dade. You're going to pull the hoodie off of this kid and start wrapping it around the wound on his leg.
I think Hanna or someone shout out in words that I could understand that someone is injured back up the hill where she
is. Yeah, she yelled out in English, "There's one up here and one injured," something along those lines.
Right.
One down up here, one
then
injured.
Date is in triage mode. This kid is badly injured, but not lethally. This is not arterial blood. I'm hearing Lime talk from back there. I witnessed the shooting. He's sorted because his body armor took the impact. I can look him over, but it's not imminent. I'm wrestling this guy's jacket off. Just get this on your, just put pressure, hold it down. And I'm kind of like pressing it down on there as he's probably like, but like, no, just keep it from bleeding. Hold it together, man. Hold it together. You dumbass. God, you fucking kid. And I stand up,
and his rifle still on the ground, right next to you. His rifle's on the ground right next to you. Don't forget.
If he's let it go, I pull it up out of the mud, walk it, throw it into the back of the truck.
Clang!
And I'm, looking at Lime. It's like, "You okay? You swear?"
Let me see.
All right.
I show him like what my vest, like where the bullet hit.
No sign of blood, right? You just took a really hard hit to the chest. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, and you can see that I'm feeling around on my own neck, and I'm like, "Ah, fuck, it's And you just see Dade kind of look up at you, and you're just like, "Looks worse than it is, son of a bitch." And I just kind of walk up towards
the hill,
that other side of the road, like, "Hanna,
okay,
Hanna."
Okay, so then let's. Let's take it from here, and we'll take it out of initiative for the moment, unless anybody wants to do anything urgently. Does anybody want to do anything urgently besides Dade walking up into the tree line there?
I'm going to turn to the guy that just walked out of the woods. I know he has his rifle on his back. Hanna's at 3 stress. You know, she's still not really fully recovered from when she murdered those people in that Soviet camp. So she's going to level her gun at his face. And, you know, she surprised him. He came running out of the woods. And she's going to be like, "Put your gun on the ground! Put your gun on the ground now!"
And it's his, like, his hand starts shaking it. And he reaches at for the strap. And he pulls it up over his head and just throws it kind of down into the ground and backs up. And, he just says, They did not know. They did not know." And
shut
this is all in Polish.
Shut up! She's kind of waving her gun around at all of them, like, and they better be real quiet, they better be real meek in how they move, and please let me know if one of them moves quickly or says anything to me. And that's where she's at.
Noted. Okay. Lime, you hear her screaming in the woods. Put it down. Put the gun down. Well, you don't speak Polish. You hear this Hannah screaming in Polish. What do?
I think I hear that. I hear my friend.
You hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear my friend yelling, put the gun down. And I'm going to run around the back of the truck. As I run, I'm going to say to the boy just what Dade said, which is just like, keep pressure on it, dumbass. And then I'm going to run up to my friend Hannah just to see, you know, what the fuck is going on and make sure she's okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna put a hand on her shoulder. Hannah.
We're gonna go off of the map for right now. Let's focus on how we imagine it. So Zofia comes up, and now you see there's a man, civilian bearded guy with the hunting rifle laying on the ground. His hands are up, and he's looking past Hannah, and he's saying, "Where is the kit? Where is the medical kit?" And the guy is yelling back at him, "It's back! It's back at the house! It's back at the house!" And
I have to acknowledge. Did Zofia put her hand on my shoulder?
Yeah. Yeah,
I spin on her.
Yeah.
Hannah spins on her, like, with her butt in the air, like about to crack her one.
Hanya.
She stops short.
Look at me. Breathe.
Okay, yeah. Dade, we need help here. Okay, yeah. And her gun's back on the Raiders.
I think
Dade's
kind of following. I think Dade... Got sort of lapped by Zofia on the way up the hill and was kind of following her up.
I wasn't
now
shot.
Presented with this scene. And I was like, all right. How many others? How many others are out there?
And you don't. How many others? He's going to look up at you and he
how
sees
that
you have a medical.
Medic symbol on the
lapel in your fatigues. He looks up and he says in Polish, looking at you, "Can you help her? Can you help her? I don't know where she is shot in the chest. She is shot in the chest."
Many?
And he's like getting upset.
How many others are there? Are there any others?
And he looks back. And says, Boris, bring them out. Bring Zofia. Can she move? And he's got his hands up. This other guy, Boris, looking at Hannah. He's got his hands up, looking kind of wildly back and forth. He says, "There are two there, three down there," pointing out past the truck.
Everybody out! Hands up! Everybody out onto the road.
And he calls
Hannah's
back.
Gonna kind of like. You know, she sees that Dade and Zofia kind of have these people who are hurt right here kind of handled. She's got her gun out and she's like kind of looking at the areas that they indicated and screaming for people to come out and stand on the road.
Okay. We see. Let's cut to. Hold on. I need a quick roll here. Okay. Let's cut to. A woman coming out of the trees, another adult woman, and she is holding this young girl, a teenage girl, and the teenage girl's arm is over the woman. She's being helped along, and this one you can see is shot in the shoulder, and it is bleeding out into her clothes, her other shoulder, and she's grabbing at the shoulder. She also looks to be about 15 years old, a teenager. And she's kind of like walking along over, and they come out of the trees. And
come here.
Yeah.
So Zofia will say in Polish, like, bring her. He's a medic. He will help you, though I'm not sure you deserve it.
She comes over kind of like wide-eyed, doesn't know what to say, and she comes limping over. We go back to Dade. Lime, do you want to do anything? You're down at the truck right now.
Yeah, I think I'm just... I want to make sure...
I'm sorry, Lime.
That the kid doesn't have... he's been disarmed, that his weapon is not near. Okay. Then I'm just going to turn my attention to the group that's gathered up on the north side, and I'm just going to have my carbine aimed in their direction in case anyone pulls anything. But I'm going to hang back.
Okay, got it. We go back to Dade, and you kneel down over this woman.
Yeah, I'm observing these. It seems like there's two very injured people.
Yes,
correct.
The woman on the ground, the woman laying on the ground, is critically injured. The other one is incapacitated by damage, but not critically injured. So it's sort of an interesting combo.
Is she the one that I shot?
Yes.
Okay. So there's three injured. This isn't like a new one.
Nope. There's three injured, two teens, one adult woman, and the adult woman was critically injured, I believe, by Lyme. I can't remember who, or Zofia, I can't remember. But somebody had multiple successes the critical threshold and put her down, from what I can recall. And she is in rough shape. You're examining her, safe to say?
Definitely. And yes, I do. I'm now, dropping to the knee, as you said, like giving an assessment of how critical these injuries are and sizing it up, and I'm taking a med kit out of my possessions here.
Okay. Her husband, you can tell by the way he's speaking, and he said my wife has started to remove her coat already. You can see that her shirt that she's wearing, her blouse, is like soaked in blood. And you can see the bullet hole low on the right side of her body, just below kind of center mass. And as the blood is sort of like welling up from this injury, you can see bubbles of blood are like coming up and out of her mouth. And
it's not a good sign.
You immediately track that she's been hit in the lung, that she potentially, very likely, is going to die in moments if you can't get this thing under control. And you might need to be using some of your supplies to do that. So I'm going to let you think about it while we take a quick break. Let's take a break here. Think about what the next moment is going to be with this person, and then we'll start rolling some dice. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ashley, host of Crime Salad, and every week my husband Ricky joins me as my partner in crime. We know the true crime space is crowded, so we skip the loud, bubbly small talk and get straight to the facts of the most gripping cases. If you want to see what we're all about, check out our recent two-parter deep dive, She Saved Him, Can You Save Her?, covering the baffling Rebecca Zahau case. If you want a true crime podcast that feels authentic and respects the details, come check us out. Search Crime Salad wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
The Tudors were probably the most scandalous dynasty in British history. Names like Henry VIII and Bloody Mary are still known today. This season on Vulgar History, we're spilling the historical tea on the messy Tudor era. We'll get into the Anne Boleyn of it all, figure out who really wrote Shakespeare's plays, was Elizabeth really a virgin queen, and why was Henry VIII the f***ing worst? Listen to Vulgar History wherever you get podcasts.
We are back. Dade, you stand, kneel over this woman, and you saw in the basement of the supermarket somebody who was near death or maybe terminally ill, right? In somebody who was suffering from radiation poisoning. I'm not sure we've seen yet in our first 11 episodes. Can you believe it's episode 11 already?
11?
Wow. Flying by. In the 11th episode, I don't think you've seen anybody this close to death that might be able to be pulled back from the brink. So this is a critical injury that has a certain time frame that's going to elapse before this person has to make a death roll or die. And a medical aid could help this situation. So, you know, you can assess very quickly this person could die within the next couple of hours, you think, if they're not treated properly. And they are, you would need to use a medical part in order to do so and succeed at a medical aid role. Yeah. So talk to me about what's going on in Dade's head. What are you thinking? Ross, did we lose Ross?
I think he's frozen.
He's in that, like, I'm listening to you intently.
I thought it was too. Yeah, I thought he was just like.
Also, the perfect freeze.
The perfect freeze. You were just listening, like.
Good. Suddenly, you all were like dark spinning circles.
Oh, I know that look. I know.
God, I hope this doesn't happen again.
Sorry about that. Did you hear the last thing I said?
I think so. Yeah, I am. This lady is trying to kill us. Do God knows what, but these are just people. The fucking kid. I signed up to do less harm. Give me my tools from the truck, and I am going to try to perform some ad hoc field surgery to save this woman's life.
Oh my God.
Damn.
I'll go get his tools.
Okay. So Zofia runs down the hill. The other Zofia, who's about a 15-year-old with a bullet wound in the shoulder, is pale and it starts to fall to the ground. This older woman, middle-aged woman, catches her and then kind of like gently lays her on the grass and is, you know, looking down at her. Zofia, running down the hill toward the truck. Dade is assessing the situation and Lime is overwatching kind of on everything. You hear groans and small sentences in Polish from the ground behind you, Lime. You hear, you know, and can't quite make out what's being said, but this kid is looking at you. We, Zofia, you're scrambling around into the truck and you see his medical bag, his medical supplies, and you grab it and run it up the hill. Sound good? Okay. Yeah. As she's running it up, this guy who had the RPG, who Hannah beat up, you can already see that there's like swelling starting to happen underneath his eye where Hannah got him like right in the face. And he's looking over at you, Dade, and he's just like blathering quickly in Polish, like, please, please do what you can. Please help her. I'm sorry. She did not know. We did not know. They thought you were Soviets. I tried to get them to stop.
Can you please tell him to be quiet?
Be quiet.
To calm down.
Yeah, I'm gonna hand him his tools and then like take the man and just be like, Shut the fuck up, okay? Come over. Just sit. Be quiet.
He's going to take care of you, my love. You're going to be okay.
And
yes, talk to her, not to him. He is helping you, even though she should not have to. He is helping.
I want to kind of go on overwatch with Lime, but from like the opposite side of the road so that we're kind of covering the road. And I'm waiting for these people to get out and show themselves and put their freaking hands up.
Sorry, what people?
I thought there were still people coming out of the woods. Is this everybody now?
there are two people south of Lyme, in Lyme's back, that, numbers-wise, that have not come out. So he said there were three down to the south. And you got a kid on the ground. You saw one, and they ran away. So there's an unaccounted-for person, but Hannah wouldn't know that. All you know is he said three. You see one on the ground.
Okay, I take it back. I'm just keeping an eye on everybody and kind of doing an overwatch to make sure people are not armed.
I got you. I'm not going to surprise you with a sniper shot out of nowhere. Okay. You're keeping your guard up 100%, and I got it. Noted. Let's go back to Dade. Okay. Dade, this just becomes straight up an episode of The Pit. You're just like, getting in there and realizing like what has to happen quickly. You're moving through your tools and also trying to be as sanitary as possible as well in this kind of like field situation. We'll say a forest floor. Yeah, exactly. It's brutal. It's brutal. And so you're going to go in there with your tools. You realize you need to, I don't know what you need to do. You need to remove a bullet and do something to stabilize the lung, which I'm not exactly sure what that is. But you get the sense that there's something you could do here to buy her at least a day, like a full day. Just got to get over this hump right now, okay? And stem the bleeding and get the bullet out. And I need a medical aid roll and the use of one medical part.
We don't have a medical part. Actually, maybe you had been keeping track of those, Rossi. But
I do. I have four medical parts.
Whew, okay, thank God, because I didn't have any in the cargo of our truck.
Yeah, so, all right. I'm going to reduce the medical parts by one. And I will also be using my field surgeon specialty to bump my medical aid up one.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that's nice. Right.
I have trained for this.
Yeah.
I am a field surgeon. I'm performing field surgery. And just the irony of this is so profound to him that, like, I've been waiting for the moment that I've been able to prove myself, I think, to Lyme again. Like, I saved him with field surgery to prove myself to these women that are so capable and tough and hard as nails. And now I'm doing it with this person that was ready to shoot us 20 minutes ago. But I can't help it. If I don't do this, then it all fucking falls apart. And so I will roll medical aid here as I probe and press painfully against this person. Plus one modifier before the field surgery. Here we go.
See the roll.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You got to push it.
You got to push it. Okay,
we have
that.
A fail and we have a one on the roll already, which means you're going to take a stress. Do you have the stress to give right now?
I do.
Okay.
Somehow.
Okay. So you're definitely going to take one stress. Let's hope you don't take two.
Oh.
And the roll fails. You're trying, Dade. We see you in there and we see her and she starts choking. She starts choking on her own blood and you realize you have to clear that airway. Go, clear the airway. Medical aid roll, not using a part. New medical aid roll. You got to clear the airway.
Okay. And you can see
like they do in the pit. You do the tracheotomy. You cut into the get a tube.
Stress goes out. The stress goes up. You stress. Another fail. It's not working. There's too much coming up, and you can't get a clear passageway.
But you can push that, right?
You may. Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes,
you can push this.
Don't let me jump ahead.
Two successes.
Okay. All right. It seems to be not working. And then you turn her. You turn her body over and she and sort of like spits out this blood and you're able to clear her airway at least temporarily. She begins to breathe again. But again, this is all like basically at the edge of consciousness. Her eyes are rolling in the back of her head and the bullet is still in there. You now know.
And I'm like reaching with not to be gross. to be gross. This is fucking field surgery. You can see like forceps disappearing into a wound as I'm like probing around in there, like trying to find, like making contact, pushing it deeper, seeing her airway clogged, like redirecting, trying to get her over. And oh God, it's I'm making a hash of it. It's so hard to do like
okay.
this.
I am going to hand wave the rules a little bit just to make this a little bit more cinematic and a little less simulation-y. And I am going to now do a stamina roll for her, a death roll.
Oh,
on
yeah.
a failure on this roll, she will die during this procedure, which is really brutal.
And she can't push this. She can't because this is a passive roll. So she
this is a passive roll. She can't push it because she is incapacitated.
Yeah.
She could push it if she wasn't unconscious in this moment. Interestingly enough, maybe she could do something to help. But she is unconscious. It cannot be pushed. She has no ranks. This is the straight up character sheet. She has no ranks in stamina. So this is a straight, I believe, strength roll.
Yeah.
Of which she has a C. So this is a D8. Boy. A single D8 roll that, man, I'd love to do on screen. Oh, wait, I can. Here we go. Let's see if I can get this right. I'll do a public roll.
Come on. It's like, just... get this out. Come on.
Here it is. Oh my God, she rolled an 8.
Yeah. 8.
She rolled an 8. Okay.
Wow.
So she does not die. All right.
She's
now,
tough.
Your
she
failed
wants to live.
Medical aid roll gives you the information that you cannot get this bullet. You can't find it. And you're hurting her, and it's making things worse. But you've cleared her airway and you feel like you could stabilize the wound and stop the bleeding enough to buy her a few hours and not kill, have her die in this moment. But she will have to do another death roll after another several hours if you don't keep working on her. So, I mean, this feels very real to me and very intense and sort of sad. But
visceral and intense. Gross.
Yeah, you got to kind of figure out what you... All right, so she... We'll say you stabilize her for the moment. Now, that medical aid roll failed. We're not doing another medical aid roll. That failure, we're going to fail forward and have you stabilize it for the moment by her stamina keeping her alive. She will live for another few hours, but you will have to try again, or she's going to have to get aid somewhere else, or she may die. You don't have to decide right now.
So yeah.
You've got another girl here on the ground.
So just she's relatively stable, relatively stable.
Yes.
And I think I might go to Zofia, who's been my translator throughout all this. Mm-hmm. We're like, well, it's too deep. I think it's punctured the lung. I've stabilized her for now, but the airway was clogged. She's still alive, but that doesn't have anything to do with the butchery that I was doing. I mean,
What is he saying? Is she going to die?
I'm sorry. She's stable for the moment, but unless that bullet comes out, if we can't get that bullet out, her lungs are going to continue to fill with blood. She will die in the next few hours, unless I try again. But I think at that point, I wonder if I'm doing more harm than good.
She has a bullet in her lung.
I'm not this person's loved one. She can either die stable, or I can try to save her, but know that the chances are going to be low. She's very, very wounded.
She is going to die unless she gets more medical attention.
Was it worth a truck, asshole?
I told you it was not. It was the boy and the others. They didn't know. They thought you were Soviet. All we see on this road are Soviet. We don't see anyone else. And you are armed. Why are you on the road, driving around with uniformed soldier in your truck? We don't know. By the time the tree was cut, it was too late. I tried to scream, but they had already shot. I have some supplies, some medical supplies in in our house where we stay. I need to get the bullet out?
And you can see this guy has no idea what he's talking about.
If you have more supplies, he can probably help her. He will want to.
Can he come and help us?
Yes, he can. But why should we?
It was a mistake. It was the children that they did not know. We were trying to steal Soviet truck.
You're putting children in harm's way.
The children are trying to defend themselves. They want to come. They want to leave Poland. And so they want to get on the truck. They are good hunters. There is no reason they cannot help if we are trying to fight Soviets. If we do it alone, we die. We need as many as we can.
So getting all right,
he makes some good points. I just, in disgust, I'm kind of like walking and then just collecting their weapons.
I think I'm turning my attention to the teenage girl.
Okay, turning your attention to the teenage girl. She goes pale and she is starting to lose consciousness from blood loss. Go ahead and give me a medical aid roll. This one is not going to require a medical part at the moment. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. This does require a medical part because the bullet is lodged in her shoulder. However, it's not a punctured lung. She is not going to die imminently, but if you stop the bleeding, you know, she could be fine for days, but, you know, withstanding infection. But, you know, this is a situation that you got to kind of, you got to use another part on this girl or just let her sort of roll the dice in a couple days, basically. And it's up to you.
All right. Data's burning through resources here.
And you're going to need one for yourself. Don't forget.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because the bullet's not in you, but you are exposed to infection and all that kind of stuff. And you need to suture that when you have like a deep sort of a cut that would need to be sutured, right? Is this all making sense? Are we all on the same page?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
sure.
So basically, three or four parts.
I do have
parts,
the med kits. I don't know how that weighs into it. Yeah.
The med kit kind of rolls into the medical parts part, but I'll tell you what, like, you can use that personal med kit for that plus one, and we'll utilize those resources, and then I'll figure out how to mesh them in this mechanic that we started to kind of play on the survival end of medical gear.
Great.
Yeah, because well, I kind of didn't
I will,
want...
I'll use a part.
Here's the reason that I want to explain quickly why I'm doing it this way, why I think of it this way. I love this survival and try to find parts kind of mechanics. Mm-hmm. What I don't want to do is be like, you find two doses of antibiotics. And you're like, awesome. And then you're in a situation where you don't need antibiotics. You need something else. I would rather make it general so that we can kind of have what we need when we need it.
Yeah.
But I think it is important to recognize the bonuses you get from those things. So I'm willing to give you those bonuses.
Yeah.
So, if you want to use a personal med kit on yourself, we can do that and leave the medical parts aside for now because we're in the process of converting to this mechanic and you still have personal med kits from character creation.
Sure.
So we'll leave that as is. All right.
I'm using a part. I will. This seems still like field surgery to me.
Yes.
So I'm going to roll now my medical aid with a plus one for the field surgery. I'm using the part.
It's a very shallow, much shallower wound, and it has not hit an organ. So, you know, huge difference right here, even though it's still really intense. Okay, a natural one. And a six! A success!
But a success. Yeah.
And a success.
So you move to the girl, and very quickly, you are able to pull a bullet out, and you see its full shape is in there. It was lodged up against the collarbone. The bone does not appear to be broken. And this girl starts screaming in pain as you go in there. She's a little bit more awake and not as in shock. She's yelling in pain and kind of like thrashing around, and the other woman is trying to hold her down, and you successfully get the bullet out and you're able to bandage her. That's kind of your medical part.
Yeah. You're lodging your bone. It's not as deep. Keep pressure on that. Probably need to sew it up eventually. I think the rest of you might even see that Dade himself looks a little slurry and lightheaded from the from the blood that he's lost.
Zophia's been doing so much.
Press that. Just keep fucking pressure on it. And
Zophia's gonna step in.
Sterile tools. You can boil some water.
Put pressure on that. You can sew it up later. Dade.
Just keep it clean for fuck's sake.
Dade. I think you should sit down. You do not look well. You are also bleeding. Can we? If you go down, you
tell that
you
man
cannot
that
help
wife's
anyone.
Gonna die? You tell that man his wife's gonna die?
I did. I told him that she was going to die, but that you could help her.
It's just too fucking deep. I can't read.
He has supplies.
It's just law.
He has supplies at his home.
He's got supplies. Well, I'm burning through supplies here.
I'm going to kneel down in front of Dade and be like, Dade, get your shit together. We need you right now. Okay? All right? Focus on the next thing you have to do. You have to do something about your shoulder, okay?
All right.
You're losing blood. You look pale. All right? Fix it. And I'm going to stand back up and walk away.
And hearing that order, I will do medical aid on myself.
I'm going to impose penalties on this. You may need to get someone else to do this with your guidance. It is in an extremely awkward position. So either you need to get somebody to hold a mirror and you have to take a penalty, or you get somebody else to do it and you buff their medical aid role with your medical aid skill. It's going to be tough. This isn't a life-threatening wound, but it could get infected. So this could be scary.
Part of me wants to roll on that infection table.
Oh, I know.
Sorry, Ross. I know.
No, yeah.
Part of me just wants to see what's on the table.
Oh, I can't wait till Dade has sepsis. This is going
to be it's going to be so awesome.
Gritty. And yeah, now that this girl is stable, I think that's the move. Talk someone else through it.
Zophia's gonna like look at him and say like,
I will be your hands. Okay, tell me.
I can't reach up there, so it's not that complicated. It's not that hard. I mean, you just clip me right there in the musculature of the look. All right, just kneel down here. Mm-hmm. Take this med kit. The most important thing, I take your wrist. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is keep it clean. There's antiseptic in the med kit. Just keep it clean.
Clean. Tuck. Okay.
She's going to like wipe the blood or mud off of her hands and
Jesus.
maybe I might even, if I have like a canteen or something, I could use a water ration to like wash my hands.
I was just going
to
suggest that. You could use a water ration on the wound and on your hands. One ration to clean the wound and your hands. Really quick, we see it splashing down into the muck. Oh my,
precious water.
I know.
It's
our water,
crazy.
We only have five, but I think it's worth it for our medic to not get infected. So I am going to use a water ration, clean off my hands, wash off the wound, and go, okay.
It's okay. We got this water from that crater in the middle of the highway earlier.
And it glows at night, so I think that is vitamins.
I can see so well. My fingers are glowing.
Yes. I think that is the health.
Shiny.
Okay. So... okay, what is happening? I love your role play, but Zophia, you are rolling medical aid.
And
Zophia, roll medical aid, maybe buffed by my talking you through it.
Yep. Yeah. And then you have a personal med kit that you're using, right? So buff it twice. So
double buff, double buff.
Double buff, plus two of the roll. You got the med kit with the antiseptic and the bandages and sutures, and you've got Dade talking you through it. So what does that put what will the roll be?
I don't have anything in medical aid, and my empathy is a D.
And we all dump statted empathy except for Dave.
Everyone, no one has empathy except me.
I have a C. I have a C in empathy.
Oh, okay.
So then maybe Lime should do it.
Maybe Lime should be
this
doing
this.
This
is my buddy, after all.
Well, I think we've moved too far forward on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too far.
This narrative.
I cleaned my hands. It cleans the wound.
You want to use another water ration to clean Lime's hands? No. All right. This is good. So that would put you at a... Oh. Okay. That's a natural one and a failure.
And it's a natural one on the eight-sided die, so...
Which is brutal. So if you push, you have to get a six on the D6, and you will take at least one stress.
Well, I mean, I'm going to do it anyway. I have
Absolutely.
To push.
Absolutely. Push it. Oh! Oh! Double natural ones.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
You decapitated him.
All right. So, Zofia, you're trying to do this, and it's not working. Dade, it's hurting. She's the needle is going too deep.
I'm trying.
Take your stress up, too.
Wait, so do we think this does stress damage to Zofia, or does this do physical damage to Dade?
I think it does stress damage to Zofia.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's flavor, me saying that it's hurting him. I think it's just stressing her out that she's not, you know, he's trying to talk her through it. He's making it sound easy. It is not easy. It's so hard to do what he's asking you to do. You can't figure it out. The flesh is not. So you had no stress before, and now you're at your first two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, that's good. That's not, all right. Mm-hmm. So two stress, not so bad. But that means that it is not fixed.
I'm sorry.
And
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's all right. Just bandage it. Just put a fucking. You're doing all right. Just put a bandage on it.
Okay. So you put a bandage on it.
Yeah.
And again, failing forward, it is no longer bleeding and it is covered. However, she did not keep it clean. So we are going to, at a certain point, have to do a roll against infection.
I'm sorry.
Jared gets his wish.
That's what Jared wanted more than anything.
Now I regret. I regret my flippant demeanor earlier. Yeah.
Jared's the cruelest Make-A-Wish kid ever. Jared Hogan.
Please, I want to see some infection.
I want to see him suffer.
Well, okay.
I want to make him fly. Can
say. Yeah, throw him out the moon door, mommy.
Oh, God, am I getting...
Sophia's not delicate. Oh, she's boy. Not... She's well. Oh.
Bad day for JF Dade.
Yeah, she's better with parts and machines, and flesh is so floppy and gooey and jiggly and... Red. It's nothing at all like a car.
You know, sometimes you put all your experience points in a medical aid. You do everything right, and it still don't happen.
You had about as good a chance as a, you possibly D10 could to make this roll.
Yeah.
Pushed it.
But hey, it's there are some wounds that are just too deep.
And. And we're so stressed, right? Our adrenaline and
our cortisol is
probably just like
this whole situation is like, whew, there's a lot of mechanics, but I think it's supporting awesome story that just feels very real. So in order to keep things moving, I'd like to pause on that infection roll for the moment. Let's come back to that because the incubation period, you know, is... You got time.
Oh,
Before that really settles in.
It's so bad, we're not going to talk about it right now.
Great.
Okay.
Awesome.
But the thing is, these are the kind of little bookkeepy things that I always lose track of. So please help me remember. You need to make this roll tomorrow in game terms. I'll try to make a note of it, so I hope I don't forget. Okay. Now, all right. So just to give you an idea of the mechanics, you have to make a stamina roll against the infection. On a failure, you immediately fall sick to infection. You get a fever. you take a point of damage, and then you can't heal, and you take 1 point of damage every day. But you get a roll each day. As soon as you pass a roll, you'll be fine. But if you consistently fail these rolls and you are incapacitated, on the next day, if you fail, you die. So like that's kind of the flow. But you're already injured.
I'm 3 rolls away.
Right, so 3 rolls away from death if you get 3 chances, but it doesn't start until tomorrow. For now, you don't know that as a character, and you feel like she figured it out at least. It's covered, it's bandaged, you might be a little worried about how dirty it is. And you hear in Polish, "Help! Help!" from down by the truck. And there's the other kid. And this kid is hurt, and he's yelling behind you, Lime.
I've had him in. I've been keeping an eye on him as I've been maintaining my overwatch on the surgery. And so, yeah, I step over and I just take a look at the wound and like see how well the attempt to staunch the bleeding has progressed.
Yeah, it seems like it's progressed pretty well. Like he's, it's not bleeding up through the hoodie right now.
Okay. So I just like sort of stretch out a hand just to be like, you know, everything's okay. And like, shh, you know, put my finger to my lips again. I'm just like, let's say, like, just give it just a reassuring kind of look at him.
Okay.
But I call over and it was just like, this boy probably needs some medical attention soon as well.
Yep. You call that in English down from below. And in Polish, you guys are hearing, help, help me.
Get in line, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like Dade said, it's sort of getting, it's getting triaged.
Busy, you know? Day. Like
he's got to triage it.
Here by the side of the road.
This is like the pit, sitting here in the waiting
this
room.
This is the pit.
I've been here for 3 hours. What the hell?
Well, you're not dying.
This guy comes over to you. What is it? My God, immediately forgot your name. You, Hanna.
Yes.
Comes over to Hanna, and he just comes over. He says,
if you can come back to where we stay, you. There are supplies, and maybe he can help. He can help my wife. I'm sorry. It was they did not know. They thought you were soldiers. You know, they are soldiers. These men, with their guns in the back of the truck, he thought they'd kill us. Please.
Hanna has calmed down now, and she says, "Okay. I'll go back with you and get the medical supplies. And I'm going to tell Zofia and Dade what I'm doing." Then I will go with him to house to get medical supplies.
We all go. She cannot stay here. She cannot. Can she move?
Dade, can we move her?
Yeah, so he's sort of calling to you, Dade, but you don't understand what he's saying. And Zofia, or Hanna translates quickly and says, can we move her? And I'll leave it up to you, Ross. It's purely up to you, narratively, if she can be moved or not.
Only if you had a stretcher or something to keep her stable. The more you move her torso, the more the bullet's gonna wander and do more damage in there.
If we can make a stretcher or something to fashion her to, I'll be saying in Polish to the man, if you have wood or canvas,
we have a blanket. We have blankets in the house we could use, maybe?
Good, yes.
And make... okay.
Go get
those. Yes, I will go. Will you help?
I'm going to go with him.
Okay. Okay, great. And he turns back to the other guy. Can't remember if I said his name. No, I didn't, because it's Tomas.
Tomas, please, come with us. Help us.
Hanya, you can take the truck if you want.
They say, We go on foot. It's faster. It's faster on foot. You have to go up and a long way around on the roads, but we can cut through the woods.
Go. All right. Go.
I'm with them.
So you're going to go with these two men back to their
place.
They're
not armed anymore.
They are not.
I made a clear point of that, so okay. I'm okay. Yeah, okay. I can handle them.
Badass. You guys all start kind of moving back through the woods. And I think we can kind of move this through and say that you get back to their quote-unquote house. And it's basically an abandoned, like, barn. It's just like a barn. Like an abandoned barn that they're staying in. And when you get back there, you see kind of random supplies all over the place. So this guy is going to grab up kind of a makeshift backpack and throw some medical supplies in there that he has. And Hana, why don't you give me a survival roll to see if you're able to craft a stretcher from what they have around and give yourself a plus one for the other two helping you.
Okay. Survival plus one. Yes.
Two successes. Oof. Nice. Okay. So, yeah, you find these two poles. You know what I mean? I'm not sure what they might have been used for.
One pipes. Is a broom. Maybe they're just one is a pipe. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, exactly. Like one is a pipe, one is like a broom handle or something. What's that skin?
So she found two poles while she was accompanied by two poles.
There you go. Nice.
Two poles with two poles.
Between two poles.
Between. Between two poles. Oh, jotting that down. Okay.
Yeah, that's the episode title.
Yeah. You head back with the stretcher. Okay. Let's advance things a little bit here. Are you good to... You bring back the stretcher. We don't have to role play out every moment, but are you going to help them walk this woman back? By the way, this was not short. This was like a kilometer through the woods
right
to their house. It's a bit of a hike. Nothing crazy, but...
I'm going to help them.
A bit of a hike.
I'm going to help them.
Okay. So we put... carefully put her onto the stretcher, and then we see just kind of cut scenes of you putting her onto the stretcher. Now, the question is the car. Are you going to back the car up, go back the way you came a couple kilometers to the country road that will go around to this house? Are you going
to... We all want to gather in this barn now?
Well, that's the question. Yeah. Do you guys want to send them off? Like, you could send them off now and just go on your way.
Oh, I mean,
or you can go back and monitor this woman / rest. I mean, you are also a little beat up. It's Hana, late in the day.
Hana would like to convene with her companions.
Yeah. So please, let me allow you to completely role play this conversation out.
They made a mistake. It might cost them a woman's life. But we can't help them. There are people who need our help south of the bridge. I think we go now.
We can at least stay the night. We know this place is safe. There are more eyes here watching. And Dade can monitor this woman.
And use at more least, of our supplies? We need this.
No, we use their supplies. And perhaps we ask them to refill our supplies as well. Repay us for what we have given them. I think we should stay the night. Just the night.
Yeah.
I tend to agree. We're all injured, many of us. We could use the rest before we continue on, in any case.
Okay.
Importantly, we feel that we can trust these people.
I feel like
They made a stupid mistake. They thought we were Soviets. I believe them.
I also believe them. I'm angry, but I am not suspicious.
If you don't think so, I mean, that woman's going to pay the price.
They have.
Even if I stabilized her, she's got ours.
Private, I feel that chances that they will betray us are lessened because of your earnest attempt to save the life that we nearly took.
None of it would have happened to the stupid kids.
Yes, but kids are stupid. That is what they are.
They shouldn't have been put in harm's way. They shouldn't have been allowed to participate.
Who's not in harm's way now? Huh? I don't know. I'm sorry. God, shoulder.
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, Lime is looking with great concern at Dade right now.
It kind of smells.
Don't will this into existence.
He's been so psyched from the beginning. He's been wanting to get rid of Dade from the start.
That would be bad for us.
Yeah.
It would. This is terrible. This is the worst.
I don't know. Given my track record with medical aid rolls, I don't know that it maybe. Would.
Let's not forget that Dade was... That was a random roll out of four of you that first bullet went at Dade. I was like, oh come on, no, not the medic.
Yeah.
Hey, when that happens. That's what happened.
Hey, when that happens. But yeah, I think it sounds like we're spending the night...
I think we spend the night.
In the barn.
Yeah.
And we rest.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Dade especially, I think. Lime thinks he needs a night of observation. Mm-hmm.
Do you all get in the truck together and drive your way there after getting directions from these guys about where the workaround is, or do some of you hike through the woods and some of you take the car?
I'm going to hike through the woods. It's not far.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with Hana.
I'll drive the truck and I'll insist that Dade ride with me.
Yeah, I'll ride in the cab.
And Shalona?
Shalona's there in the back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Shalona's in the back. Zofia gets in the driver's seat, and Zofia, you notice, I didn't mention this last week, I kind of glossed over it quickly, but you notice another reduction of reliability to the vehicle just from hitting the tree.
Right.
Again, not enough to break the engine or anything or stop it from driving, mm-hmm. but it's another reduction in reliability. It mm-hmm. was slightly damaged. You back off of the tree. Oh, by the way, there was a detail here that...
There's still a tree in the middle of the road.
Yeah, there's a tree in the middle of the road, so that is something you'll have to deal with. But do you remember I said as soon as you hit that tree, you saw the form run across the road, and that was that teenager who ended up getting shot. Yeah, yeah. The boy. What you realize, Lime, I never told you in the scene today, as you were standing there doing Overwatch and like keeping an eye on everything, you see that he ran a spiked... like chain across the street behind the
truck. Oh, I was wondering.
So that you couldn't back up.
Oh, shit.
That's what that little run was like. Or, shink across the street.
Or to ruin the tires of the truck that he wanted.
Yeah, well, what a stupid funny you idiot. Say that. It's funny you say that.
I'm going to collect that because we need to back up. And so yeah, I'm going to collect that all,
that's
spike chain.
That's amazing, because in all of the hubbub,
it's mine now.
I think they forgot about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the boy was injured. He just tried to get back up. And you grab that. I don't know what it's called. I call it a spiked chain, but I'm not sure those spike things that they
road
temporarily...
Caltrops.
Road spikes. Yeah, road call spikes. It road spikes yeah. in on the truck character sheet. Okay. And just, you can roll that up and drop it in the back of the truck. That's an awesome thing to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's mine now.
Road spikes. And we see Zofia and Dade drive off. Hana, the sun is starting to get a little bit low as you're walking back through the woods. You've got your gun on you, and this man, who introduces himself to you as Anton, is walking next to you. And says,
Yes, we are seeing every couple of days these the Soviets. They are back and forth. They come and go over the bridge to Lezhys and back up to Krasnik. And I don't know what they are doing, if they are dropping people off, if they are trying to put more soldiers to the south, but they are moving supplies, and so we think, how can we stop them from doing this? How can we hurt the soldiers to the north? We cut off their supply and maybe take one of their truck, and if we get it, maybe we drive out of Poland for good. Because they are everywhere. They are on every road.
I look to Lime to make sure he got all that. And then I say, we are going to Lazarsk. Same reason. We want to see what is going on down there. Maybe disrupt what they're doing.
What? But you already have a vehicle. Why don't you leave? Why don't you get out of here?
And go where?
I don't know.
There's nothing
go
out
west.
There. There's nothing out there.
Nothing? But the Americans, I mean, you have one with you. Are they not fighting? They are fighting them to the west.
And you had heard from the British intelligence that they were not.
The Americans aren't fighting. We're on our own now. And she just keeps walking.
Yeah. We'll do a couple quick scenes of just the truck arriving, pulling up outside of the house, of you guys sort of bringing supplies in that you want safe and inside the barn and watched. You see some negotiations happening, and perhaps off air or in bonus content or something, we could talk like, is there one or two things you really want that you're willing to trade for or something? We could do a little trade action here, something along those lines. But more importantly, as the sun fully goes down, there's no power in this barn, so they are literally using lantern light to light the internal area, or candles. And it's by that candlelight, Dade, that you start to see the signs of this woman who you now know her name is Carolina, she's turning. That her body is starting to give in, and the fight might be near the end. You have a chance here late. A couple people might even be asleep. By the way, we could go into like more details, but I'll just give it to you quick, like out of character, that like the teenagers are a brother and sister. And their parents are both dead. They both died very early in the war. And they were sort of roaming the countryside. They ran into these folks. They started to kind of like, there's a couple couples here. And then these kids. And they're all trying to figure out how to survive and how to get out of here. And this was the best plan that they came up with to try to get it all in one shot and get out to the west, to the Americans, right? And so that's sort of the story you see unfolding as some people doze off. And you're just paying attention, Dade, when you see something is happening. And you might have to do this a little bit earlier than you expected. You can ask for help. Does anybody have a D in medical aid in this group?
No.
Okay. I'm going to do a roll on the NPCs, and I'll do a B. I'll do a B roll. On a success, somebody will have some sense of medical aid. Oh, my God. I rolled a natural 10.
Okay.
Two successes. Amazing. So you've got So I'll say with two successes, you do not use your own medical supplies. They've got the thing you need. And the second success is you have somebody who's slightly trained in this area.
Like a nurse or a veterinarian or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe that middle-aged woman.
We'll say one of the... Yeah, we'll say...
Yeah,
so perfect. So one of the guys offers to help you. And you don't need to use a part. You get a plus one from that. You get a plus one from field surgeon because this is still surgery in a unfamiliar place. And you get another shot to buy her a few more days.
All right. Thank you. And almost like with kind of sign language, just working slowly, methodically, trying to fix this. The tools come out.
Oh.
Oh, three successes.
That's three.
More successes.
Like
it. Let's go, Dade.
Forceps slip in and just see kind of like sweat on his brow in the lantern light. Looking up at this pole, daubing it away, and then they come out, and that bullet is right there in the prongs. And Ross doesn't know all the ins and outs of
me neither, but
the surgical stuff required to do this. But yeah, like she is now stable, patched.
Yes. Amazing. Congratulations.
Good job.
And he is standing there. Anton is standing there, and as you pull the bullet out, is that it? Is that it? And somebody's translating. Other guy's translating.
It's a little bastard.
And he just launches over to you and gives you like a hug. Oh, it's like a big hug. Yeah, his skin got scared. He knocks you out. And steals your medical supplies and runs out of the barn.
We still want that truck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel smoke crushed in his embrace. And it's just that overwhelming emotion of the stress kind of relieving for a second. I'm like, oh. And it's like, oh,
thank you.
God, I did it.
I was like a real
surgeon. I was like a real surgeon. And then that's overwhelmed suddenly as the pain in my shoulder as he presses against it. God, that's really deep.
He looks around. He says, I don't have much to offer. But perhaps if you are going to go to Le Gis, perhaps you use this.
And he offers the RPG to you.
Nice.
We'll take and it.
We'll pick it up there next time. Let's pick it up there next time.
Awesome.
If you're going to be the ones to actually go and fight him,
yeah.
Why don't you take this?
Yeah. I'm pretty good at heavy weapons.
Yes.
Heavy weapons.
Tana!
Finally have one.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Dade for the win.
Yeah. Oh. Absolutely.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Now that woman's not going to die for 9 more days.
Exactly.
Not our
problem.
She's
definitely going to die, but I have to remember to make that roll.
She should be alive.
Yeah. You're welcome. Good job.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Ox Venture, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred.
Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.